Hi, everybody. This is the Fireside Chat. I'm Dennis Prager. It is great to be with you. I am with you every week, especially these days. Where else am I going to go? That's just the way it is. And you got to accept things. What is the great serenity prayer that they have in the 12-step program from Reinhold Niebuhr? It's something to the effect of, you know, what is it? Yeah, everybody knows, well, not everybody, most people know the intent, but the punchline is to know the difference between what I can change and not change. And so that's a very important, it's a great prayer. You got it there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
God grant me the serenity.
God grant me the serenity.
To accept the things I cannot change.
To accept the things I cannot change.
Courage to change.
Courage to change the things I can.
And wisdom to know the
difference. And the wisdom to know the difference. That more or less summarizes everything. It's really funny. You know, I read these books on philosophies of life, and then one guy comes along and says it in three sentences. And but that's the beauty of these. That's why these are known, these three-sentence or two-sentence or one-sentence kernels of wisdom. Anyway, I want you to know that I'm excited to tell you about a special scholarship offer through our partnership. It's PragerU's partnership with Colorado Christian University, CCU. It's offering a $1,000 scholarship to PragerU subscribers for online classes through CCU Online. CCU offers over 90 degree program options, and all courses incorporate a Christian-centered, but it's open to anybody of any background, worldview. Most classes are only 5 weeks long, so you can take one class at a time and still have time for life's adventures. If you're interested in taking advantage of this great offer, visit PragerU.com/CCU. So the Fireside Chat, this is about, you need it now? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you need to charge it. That's right. That was Megan's arm. In fact, that's the subtitle, Fireside Chat or Megan's Arm. Anyway, the Fireside Chat is now 2.5 years old about, and I had no idea in the beginning what would happen. It wasn't my idea, and I thought, all right, you know, we'll see if anybody responds. So we have a very large response around the world, and it's completely unrehearsed. I just offer you some thoughts about life and then take your questions, and then we go to the next week. So it's worked out very nicely. This is Otto, my bulldog, and Otto is very popular for good reason. Otto is a very relaxed creature, almost never barks. What else can I tell you about Otto? Very relaxed, as you can pretty much tell. And, you know, I grew up with a cat and not a dog. And I talked about cats and dogs. Somebody asked me about being, oh, the cat per, was that on the just ask me live questions? Do you folks know about my answering questions live? Should I tell everybody?
On Tuesdays
at 4 Pacific Time USA, 7 Eastern Time USA, and what would that be, GMT? Is GMT 9 plus now, I think? So check it out. You'll figure it out. And I just take your questions live for an hour, and it's just boom, 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 and it's fun. It's work, but it's fun. So this is the Fireside Chat, and welcome. I just want to comment on something. You'll be amazed. I mentioned in passing I watched it again just to make sure that I had remembered it accurately, and I had a Fireside Chat on the concept of being safe, which is also my column this week, is actually a condensation of what I said. Because out of nowhere, the Daily Mail in Britain and the Daily Beast just said, Dennis Prager licks forks. it is so bizarre what is done to attack me. I don't mind being attacked. But when people make up things that I never said or distort what I say, this. But anyway, read my article on truth and the left. It's a very disturbing problem in life that it's not a left-wing value. It's a liberal value. It's a conservative value, truth, but it's not a left-wing value. But anyway, if you read my column this week, you'll see I make reference at the end to what was written. I never thought that a throwaway line about how I'm not preoccupied with worries about health. So if I have a fork or a knife that fall on the floor at a restaurant and they rush over to give me a clean one, I go, it's okay. And that was mocked. Like, I lick dirty utensils. That's what they wrote. I figure this, if they have to make things up in order to attack me, that's a good sign. It's not a good sign about them, but it's a good sign about me because I say responsible things. You know, my life has been dedicated to goodness. I'm as far from a bomb thrower with words as you can get. My basic belief, watch my testimony, it's on YouTube, my testimony in the U.S. Senate last summer. And I basically said what I and PragerU stand for. I have one overriding belief. There is a God who wants us to be good. Pretty radical, huh? I mean, I got to tell you that's what I believe. That's what animates me. And so when I say things, I guess they have to make up things. Be that as it may, it is what it is. So welcome to the Fireside Chat. I want to talk to you about a big subject, liberty. So here is something, you may have heard me say this, I don't know, but repetition is the mother of learning. So let me say this if I did say it before. One of the important realizations of my life has been that liberty is a value, not an instinct. People don't think of it that way, but the founders of the United States did, which became the freest country, which is why the French gave America the Statue of Liberty. If liberty were not a value, you wouldn't have a Statue of Liberty. You don't have a statue of breathing. Breathing is an instinct. So there's no statue of breathing. There's a statue of liberty because it's a very rare thing in human existence. Slavery was universal, and ruling over people was universal. The idea that people should be free is very, very rare. There's a very famous American song which has the words in it, Sweet Land of Liberty. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. And then in the national anthem of the United States, the land of the free and the home of the brave. I think, unfortunately, that's not the characterization of many Americans today who neither value freedom nor are very brave. It's a very serious decline that I have observed in my lifetime. But that was what it was about, to be free. The most famous symbol of the American Revolution is called the Liberty Bell. Obviously, you could find that. It's in Philadelphia. It's a gigantic bell rung to commemorate. It was made, I don't remember the year, but the founding of America. Remember, America was founded in 1776. I don't know the year of the Liberty Bell, but presumably around that time. And on that bell, the founders of the United States only put one sentence. You have two things inscribed on that bell. The company that made the bell and one sentence, a sentence from the Bible, specifically from the third book of the Bible, Leviticus, or as Jews would know it, of the Torah. It's the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. By the way, I'm writing a commentary on those five books. Two of them are out, Genesis and Exodus. And of course, God willing, I will get up to Leviticus. The fifth one is coming out. The fifth volume, Deuteronomy, is coming out next year. And anyway, in the book of Leviticus is the following line, which is on the Liberty Bell. And it is, "And you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants." The founders of the United States were all deeply Bible-centered people. Whatever their theology, they were very Bible-centered. That includes Thomas Jefferson, who was the least standard or religious of the major founders of the country. But they all knew their Bible. I mean, if you know Leviticus, you know your Bible, let me tell you. And they knew, this is the great revolution that the American Revolution was. To make a free country, it had to be rooted ultimately in the belief that God wants us to be free. As countries get more secular, they get less free. That's an irony that you won't learn at college. America is a less free country today than when I was a kid, and certainly when my father was a kid, who was born in America as well. And it is a much less religious country. As the country gets less God-centered, and you could be an atheist and recognize this. I'm not preaching for you to believe. I'm just telling you a fact. That people value liberty less. Control what people say. I mean, do you know that almost 50% of young Americans, college-age Americans, do not believe in free speech? They say they believe in free speech except for hate speech, but that means they don't believe in free speech. Because what you consider hate speech, another guy will not consider hate speech. You can't determine whether I can speak or not, but they believe you can. Once you get rid of free speech, it's over. That's the end of liberty. So that's what we talk about in our movie, Adam Carolla and I, No Safe Spaces, which I beg you to see. Not because I make money from it, but because it's a great movie about the diminution of freedom in America on its campuses. Liberty is declining, and the coronavirus lockdown is a perfect example. Here's a question. In 1969, 100,000 Americans died of the Hong Kong flu, as it was called. 100,000. Not one day of lockdown took place. There were no laws about not leaving your house. There were no laws about where you can go, where you can congregate. The famous Woodstock, hundreds of thousands of young people getting drunk and dancing and singing and probably having some other forms of fun. The famous or infamous Woodstock, it took place during the Hong Kong flu. Talk about not safe distancing. The distance between hundreds of thousands of people there was probably often about at most a foot. And why didn't Americans get locked down, or for that matter, people in every other country like today? Because people believed in freedom then. It would have been unacceptable to Americans in 1969. You can't leave your house. They would have said, who are you to tell me where I can go? Tell me my risks and I will live accordingly. That's like talking about prehistory now. To talk about 1969. So what would that be? 50 years ago. 50 years is a lot of time and it's a little time, right? It's both are true. But it never happened. People valued life as much in 1969 as they do in 2020. So why was there no lockdown? Why could people go to restaurants? go to theaters, go to baseball games, football games. Why? It's a lot of people, 100,000 people. It's more than right now, at least. Unfortunately, I assume that the tally will go above 100,000 in the United States. It was 1 million around the world. Over 1 million people died of that flu. Nobody closed down. The truth is, we just don't value liberty as much. And here is my point. That's not the human instinct. Liberty is a value. You know what? Everything good is a value. Everything. Do you know what is an instinct? The human instinct is not liberty. The human instinct is to be taken care of. That's why communism was so popular among so many people. People thought, oh, good, I'll be taken care of. That was the famous Marx line, to each according to his needs, from each according to his ability. However you feel like working, you'll work, but we'll take care of you. That idea is very popular in the Western world and outside the Western world. Let the government take care of you. America was not founded with that belief. You take care of you. You take care of your family. You take care of your community, your neighbors. If none of that worked, you still didn't go to the government. You went to the local church or the local Rotary Club or the Kiwanis Club or the Free Loan Society. The first thing Jews, when they came to America at the end of the 19th century, early 20th century, the first thing they made were free loan societies so that poor Jews can get a loan without interest, without going to the government. It was considered an embarrassment to rely on the government for any help. Not today. If you don't rely on the government for any help, you're almost a fool. It's changed so radically. But you see, this is a sort of deal with the devil. You give the government the right to take care of you, you lose a lot of your freedom. That's the way it works. Yes, the government should be the last resort for people who cannot be helped by themselves, by their family, by their community, by their church and Kiwanis Club and all those clubs and so on. Yes, if nothing else works, then it has to be ultimately some safety net. But now it's not ultimately, now it's immediately. But that's the trade-off. Do you want to be taken care of by the state, or do you want to be free? This was conceived as a sweet land of liberty. But over time, despite the fact that liberty did make the freest country in the world, that's not the human instinct. The human instinct is take care of me. You can have my liberty. So it's endangered. And this is a very sad thing to tell you. Everything is a value in life. People used to think that getting married was an instinct. There was a song in the 1950s or 1940s which went as follows. Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. Right? It's just automatic. You fall in love, you get married. Not anymore. Marriage is a value, not an instinct. And the same with children. If there's anything that would be considered an instinct is having children. But no, it's not. That too is a value. And fewer people hold that value. So fewer and fewer people are getting married. Fewer and fewer people are having kids. Values are everything. And that includes liberty. Some thoughts about the current situation in our country and in our world. Okay, and now to the opening video question for me, and then I'll take others of your questions. And, all right, I think it's coming up. Hi. Whoops. Yep, there we go.
Hey, Dennis. Thanks for taking my question. My name is Cole. I live up in Florence, Kentucky, and I'm an incoming high school senior at Boone County High School and a very proud Prager Force influencer. My question for you today is, the political climate in the United States has become so polarized and isolated over the past few years, past few decades, and I was just wondering, in your view, do you think it's something that we can overcome easily, and how do you think it's going to affect the nation in the next few years and decades in terms of policy, legislation, and even just the sense of our nation being united as one?
Cole, that's a very good and sad question. By the way, what did you mean up in Florence, Kentucky? Isn't Kentucky more in the south? See, if you said up in North Dakota, maybe Florence is in the mountains. Could be. Anyway, I sort of envy you. I think it's great to live in Kentucky. Okay, you've asked a very important question, and I have a very sad answer. You're quite right. The divisions are so great that I wrote a piece, you could all see it on the internet, years ago, that we're in the middle of a civil war in America. The Second Civil War, I think, is the name of it. And you should know that, of course, thank God, it's not violent. I pray, truly pray, that it never is violent. But the division between left and the rest of the country, I wouldn't even say left and right, just left and everyone who isn't left. We have liberals giving PragerU courses who are as alienated from the left as conservatives are. And please know, it's obvious to me that the source of the radical division, not difference of opinion, there have always been differences of opinion, but the radical division is the left. If you don't agree with the left, you're evil. I mean, I get this all the time in letters, in calls to my radio show. There are so many people, for example, parents who tell me their children are alienated from them, sometimes won't speak to them because they know that they voted for Donald Trump. It never works in the other direction. No child ever stopped speaking to a parent because they voted for Barack Obama or another Democrat. In fact, those of us who are conservatives would think that kid was an idiot. You're not talking to your parents because they voted for Barack Obama? Are you out of your mind? You have to honor your parents and try to make a happier home life. But it's almost all in one direction. The week after Donald Trump was elected in 2016, the New York Times had a front page article on the upcoming Thanksgiving in the United States, big national holiday, big family holiday, follows election day by 3 weeks, and even sometimes less than 3 weeks. And they had an article about how many people were not going to go to Thanksgiving dinner at their relatives, and even they acknowledged it was virtually always in one direction. If the relative found out that the other relative voted for Donald Trump, they wouldn't go. This staggering division is left created, not right created. We value family. We value getting along. We want freedom and openness. You disagree, you disagree. Most of my extended family doesn't agree with me politically. I think I can offer a dramatic example here. I don't believe in same-sex marriage. I think that marriage should be defined by one man and one woman. I have a niece whom I love. She is married. I love her. I love her wife. And they know that I'm pretty outspoken on the marital issue. There's we have a member of the board of directors who was gay, and a member of the board of directors of PragerU. He knows how I feel because he knows my values. They don't come from hatred. It's not, why is it hatred to believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman? You could say I'm wrong. You could say religious values like that are obsolete. But what does it have to do with hatred? My wife and I are godparents to that gay couple's, I'm not talking about my niece, I'm talking about this male gay couple. We are the godparents to their children. So listen to this. So what does a godparent mean? It means that if they should die, my wife and I are responsible for their moral education. So this gay couple has given over to a couple that doesn't believe in same-sex marriage the moral education of their children. Because why wouldn't they? Would we say anything, God forbid, negative about their parents? They're beautiful human beings. But I'm not going to abandon my religious value because I love people. I don't believe that follows logically. The hatred and the lying is overwhelmingly from one side. If you disagree with the left, you're, you know, six herb. I coined this acronym 15 years ago. Sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, bigoted. Right? You're not wrong. You're one of those horrible things. I asked on my radio show, and it was just a throwaway question, and it was literally an innocent question. Why have blacks been known by so many different names in the course of the last generation? Negro, colored, African-American with a hyphen, African-American without a hyphen. And I was blasted by the left wing as racist. What is possibly racist? Martin Luther King called blacks Negroes. Negro was not a racist word. There's the United Negro College Fund that exists to this day. They use the term. The NAACP, the biggest black civil rights organization, is the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. How could colored be racist? I have no problem with saying black or African American. I was simply asking a question, why were the changes made? But, oh, Prager is a racist. It is all over the internet. We don't do that to them. We disagree with them, but we don't dismiss their decency or humanity. So, yeah, there's the division, but one side has caused it. How are we doing on time?
27.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. I was trying to get to more questions. Oh, well, I can't resist this one. Grayson, 17, in L.A. Hi, Mr. Prager. On a recent episode, you mentioned that you are somewhat of an audiophile. I am not somewhat of an audiophile. I am a crazed audiophile and a fan of CDs, compact discs, for those of you who have no clue what that is. What music and media have you enjoyed and recommended during this pandemic? The same that I enjoy outside of pandemics. Thank you and God bless. Thank you. I always love when people go, God bless. I'm always wondering, God bless whom? is God bless short for God bless you? So why do people feel funny saying God bless you as opposed to God bless? It's an interesting question, isn't it? You see it all the time. You hear it all. God bless. But not if you sneeze. Sneeze, God bless you. Although not everybody says that anymore. Anyway, if you sneeze today, they think you're murdering them. So the last thing they'll say is God bless you. So maybe that's gone. Here's my thinking. And I admit that not all of you are interested in this subject. Nevertheless, you should be. Music is loved by nearly all of humanity. Not everybody, but almost everybody loves music. So I want to hear music as great as I can. I want it to be as close to live as I can get. So the only thing I've ever spent a lot of money on, this is sort of my yacht or my equivalent of a jet, although it's a lot cheaper than a jet. But it has been on stereo equipment since I was in high school. I would take my lunch money and buy stereo equipment with it. And here's the thing. Whenever I have young people over to the house and I play my system for them, they acknowledge they have never heard anything like it in their life. And they become transfixed. What you hear in your iPad earbuds is like looking at great paintings through sunglasses or even worse, some form of a veil. And that's, I just wish you could all hear my system. And then you would say, yeah, I would like something like that too. And compact discs still are the best way to hear, better than anything else that people listen to. All right, that was a nice change of pace. We have time for one more, or are we pretty much, I know your face. We're pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, well, listen, think about the Liberty issue. And, oh, by the way, I want to tell you something. My grandson mentioned to me today, we were FaceTiming or duoing or whatever you use, Skyping, and he's in Florida and I'm in California, and he watched yesterday a video that I made 30 something years ago, and it's called For Goodness Sake. It's free. It's on the internet. Just do For Goodness Sake, Dennis Prager, or For Goodness Sake, Maybe Alone video. Especially show it to your kids. Then you will see how committed I am to goodness. It's just about goodness. And it's very famous and had some of the most famous actors in Hollywood. See, it was an interesting thing. And though this was 1992 or 93. And it was a non-issue. They all knew I was conservative, and all these Hollywood people were fine with starring in my film. That wouldn't happen today. It's very sad. Anyway, called For Goodness Sake. Enjoy it. Thanks for being with me. On behalf of Otto, see you next week.
CCU exists to train leaders. We want to build the church. We want to engage the culture. But we want to help you prepare for your calling. Our adult and graduate studies programs give adult students the opportunity to earn their degree at their own pace, whether you're studying at home, the office, or somewhere in between. The possibilities for online education are now endless. However, many students who enroll in online programs don't finish. Why is that? Because they don't have the support team to help them get through the program. And that's part of the CCU difference. We do have that team to help you, not only orient you to studying online, but also to help you finish the program, get your degree, and achieve your goals.